So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Praise the Lord.
And what scripture is that?
Isaiah 59:19.
Let's read it again.
Hallelujah. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him.
Everybody say, we need a standard. Hey, all you people on the internet, call all your friends. Say, Rutledge is going to preach on standards today. When I say standard, I'm not talking about TV. I'm not talking about makeup. I'm not talking about hair. I'm not talking about clothes. I'm talking about God. That's a standard that lifts up against Satan and all the forces of evil. And in learning to yield to God's way of doing things, you can deal with everything. Everything in life. Now, it's easy to go the wrong way and get away from that which God sees as the standard. Here's an example of a standard that's not right. Today in this service, you witnessed an event. Brother Dane came up to sing. Now, that's not what was not right, but he came up to sing. And he brought his guitar. His guitar was out of tune. He asked me to tune it. So I, wanting to get it done quickly, came over to the keyboard, and I played a note. And I played that same sound on the guitar, and I noticed it was just a little bit off, and so I tuned or adjusted that guitar string, and I have something that I've had ever since childhood. I don't know where I got it from, but the ability to, you know, put things in the right order as far as music and harmony without getting deep into it. Without having to listen to any of the other notes. And once I get one of the notes correct, then I can tune all the rest of them because I know what it's supposed to sound like. So without doing what I ordinarily do, and that's double checking, especially the older I get, the more I'm finding I need to double check things. I played this sound one time. Now, this keyboard is factory tuned, and it's set in a way that it can never go out of tune. It can stop working, but as long as it plays, it will play in tune, and it's set to always be in tune. So that's why we can tune the guitar to the keyboard and get them to sound good together, because a standard has been set. And there's a lot of technical details like A440, and I could talk about things like that. But that's beside the point. The fact is there's a standard that has been set that measures all musical instruments around the world. Music is a universal language, and that's because through the process of time and the evolution of people working on various projects and inventions, we now have a world where all music is universal, no matter what language or where you are in the world. When you play the note G, it sounds the same. It always is the same because a standard has been set. Now, what I did when I played that note, I played it one time, then I took the guitar and I sat back here, and I tuned all the strings so they were in perfect harmony with that string, so that when he played, the guitar would be in tune with itself, no problem. But in not double-checking to see that I tuned the guitar exactly as the keyboard is in perfect tune all the way through from one end to the other, without double-checking, I didn't notice until Brother Dana was singing that I tuned the guitar to itself, but a little bit off from that which has the standard that has been set. I'm trying to make a point here. If Dana had sung his song, and of course, I don't think there's anybody in this church, probably not anybody looking on except maybe some musicians who are maybe into this pretty much. It probably sounded fine to you. But the entire song was slightly off because I didn't take the time to double check and make sure that when I played this note, it was exactly the same sound that I wanted to get on the guitar. And instead, I assumed that everything is all right. And that note on the guitar is slightly different. I tuned it to itself and not to this. It's only a slight amount. It's not much. It's so minimum. It's so slight that most people who are not deep into music would never notice the difference. It sounds great because the guitar was in tune with itself. And here's what's going on in the world today. If you can take that as an example, maybe a crude example, but the point I'm trying to get across, there is a standard that has been set, and it is God Himself who never changes. God will always be the same, and no matter what we have to do to get things in alignment and to get things right, it has to be tuned according to God. So many people in this world are almost there. But as Johnny James said in a message, almost right is always wrong. And you don't have to know much about music, because that's not the salvation plan. You can play out of tune and get through this life and even go to heaven, singing out of tune and playing out of tune. But when it comes to God, it's not okay to be out of tune. We have to get the true spirit. One writer called it the true light. Amen? There are things that seem to be true that are not quite true. What we need is the true God in our lives. And then we need to learn how to yield to the true God in our lives so that what He says is what we say. And what He likes is what we like. And what He wants is what we want. There is a harmony in the Word of God, and there's the same harmony in the child of God who lives according to the Word of God. Praise God. Now, you can take one verse of Scripture in the Bible, and you can go sit down and look at that until you think, yes, that's true, and everything else has to work according to that one Scripture. But in not double-checking all the keys and making sure that you know exactly where you are and what's going on, it's possible that you may take one Scripture, and this is done many times, and build around that and overlook some other Scriptures that have to harmonize with that Scripture, and you may build an entire life out of tune with God and without the ability to resist Satan that wants to destroy anything that God wants to help. The problem we have today is everybody wants to be in an orchestra, but nobody's got an instrument that's in tune. We all need adjustment. And I'm talking about even those of us that may be praying a lot and reading the Bible a lot, every once in a while you hear that, and something needs to be looked at. There needs to be some attention given to this area. And, you know, I don't know how to fix that, but I don't like the way that sounds. Do you like the way that sounds? There are some things that enter into our lives. Now, God made us to be good. You see, when God created man, He made man in the image of God. And later on, after man had failed, God presented us with the express image of His person through Jesus Christ. The first Adam failed because he yielded to sin. The second Adam succeeded because he conquered sin. Praise God. The image that was created in the beginning of life on earth as humanity, that image did not succeed. But the one that created that image that went out of tune continued forward until he himself brought forth that which would succeed and did succeed. And now all standards of God are in Jesus. That's what it means when all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him, dwelleth in Him bodily. That's not a scripture that's put in the Word of God just to cause debate and argument between oneness and Trinitarians. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. What it means is everything that you need in God can be found in the name of Jesus. Everything that you want in God, in your life, any adjustment you need, needs to be adjusted according to the measure of Jesus Christ. Praise God. If you want to be in tune with God, learn all you can about Jesus. You need to take some Jesus lessons. Amen. Get in the Word of God and look to Jesus. We get criticized sometimes by people who want to not look into what it is that we have found, and they want to say, well, you're those Jesus-only people, as I often say, Jesus-only. They turn their mouth a little sideways and they say it, you know, like something went wrong in their brain. Jesus-only, you know. Heard about a man that got on a bus, and he said, driver, let me off at the next street. And the driver wouldn't say anything. He just kept driving. He said, driver, let me off the next street. And the driver just kept looking forward and wouldn't say anything. He said, driver, stop this bus and let me off the next street. So the driver didn't say a word. He just stopped the bus and the man got off. And then the driver drove on. One of the passengers said, sir, why wouldn't you answer the man? And he turned around and said, you don't think I want to get my head knocked off? They were both in a mess. He didn't want the guy to think that he was mocking him because he had the same affliction, whatever it was, that caused him to talk like that. Well, I have noticed, I don't care if it's Baptists, Methodists, Episcopals, Presbyterians, whenever we present the perfect sound of the name of Jesus, we get that, you're Jesus only. Let me off of this bus. Now, if you talk like that, if you have an affliction, I'm not making fun of you. I'm talking to hair-lipped devils today. You don't want this happening over and over in your life without dealing with it, because sooner or later you're going to be playing a beautiful song, just going to be going, and you're going to get this. See, you're just living your life, and every once in a while that's, I hope nobody knows. Ooh. Still smiling, still going forward, still happy, they think, but you know, there's that, yeah, everything's all right. Have you ever looked at anybody and said, when they ask, how are you? And you said, just fine. And down in your heart, you knew you were lying like a devil. And then you wanted to repent because you felt out of tune. Go to church, testify, shout, sing, just have a wonderful time, tears flowing, praising God, hands uplifted, and you got a pain in your body and you're feeling bad and you're broke and you can't pay your bills, and you leave that victorious service, walk outside, and somebody says, how are you doing? Just fine. That's fine. You know, I'm not saying you're lying when you do that, but that feeling you get is kind of a, You know what I'm talking about? I hope that didn't hurt your ears. But it might be something that comes in your life and makes you feel awkward, or maybe like there's some discord going on, or something's not right. You know, you can hurt just your toe, and it affects your entire body. Because one little toe, one little member is out of harmony with the rest of the Bible, you get this, or the rest of the body, you get this something, you know. Oh man, you know, I told you about the time I was rushing through the building here barefooted, and everything was going fine. I was in good health, feeling good, and I stubbed my toe in one of these chairs. Oh my, did it hurt. You know, and that's not too bad. I mean, you can get over it. But then I went to take a shower, and a large bottle, a brand new bottle of shampoo, one of those large bottles, standing up on the shelf in the shower, fell when I stood in it, taking a shower, upside down, right on the same toe that I stubbed. And that was a double. Right then, if somebody said, "How you doing in there, Brother Rutledge?" I'd have probably said, "Fine, no problem." But then, as I ached through the shower, hurting my toe, it was hurting. Came out of the shower after drying off, came through the building, I stubbed it again. Now this, you know, it's understandable. You can hurt yourself once. But the second time, you need to examine yourself. And the third time, you need to get down on your knees and pray through. But it didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. After stubbing it and dropping shampoo bottle on it and stubbing it again, I needed something in the back room back here that hadn't been cleaned up in 3 or 4 or 5 years. It had been used as a catch-all room. Started out wanting it to be a recording studio, but we needed a place to put stuff, so I put some things there. Somebody else put some things there. And then we started shuffling around, and we ran out of room, started stacking things there. For some reason, everywhere we go, things just accumulate, and we just, you know, seems like everybody wants to keep everything they've ever had and don't have a place to put it, so just take it to the church. So here we go, and stacks up higher and higher. And so somewhere in all that mess of rubble back there, there was one little part that I needed, and it was somewhere in the middle of all that. And I took my aching toe back there. And as I was reaching, one of those mountains of rubble started rocking back and forth. Now, I'm talking about being out of harmony, out of sync. I'm talking about getting outside of the standard of the way things are, you know. It started out as a good day, but it wasn't going so well right then. I was concentrating on my toe hurting, at the same time trying to reach for something that I needed, and I was running out of ability to control the situation because something fell off the top and it headed for my toe. And I caught it, but when I caught it, I knocked everything else down. And the whole room collapsed on my toe. At least it seemed like it did. It seemed like it did. About the only thing you can do in a situation like that is finally just stop, sit down and rest, and hold your toe. Same thing with trying to live for God. When you find yourself going through life and you just keep on hurting yourself and then trying to go on anyway, and then you hurt yourself again, sometimes in the same area, and then you hurt yourself again because circumstances come every way we turn. There's always, in every area of living, there's something trying to grab you, hurt you, or fall on you, or make you miserable. And then you always have that crowd say, so how is it going in your life? How is everything? You meet them in the midst of the worst crisis in your life. Somebody always wants to know how you're doing. And if you ever dare to tell them how it really is, they don't want to hear you. They want to tell you their problems. They just want to get it started. Because if you allow it to happen, you can spend the rest of the day hearing about their problems and comparing your problems with their problems. We had a lady in our church in Arkansas. You didn't dare ask her how she was doing because she would tell you. And you were stuck. How you doing today? Oh, this arthritis, this rheumatism. And I don't know, she must have had 8 gallbladders taken out. Because it always ended up, and I just had my gallbladder removed. But we learned right away that you don't ask that sister how you're doing because you will be there for a while. Amen. But you know what? Just one moment of taking time to double check instead of just ding and then going away assuming you still know what to do because of one thing that you checked. You know, so you can look at John 3:16 and say, now that's what works right there. That's all it takes. Ding. That's it. John 3:16. Ding. For God so loved the world. Has a good ring to it. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, and they probably made a mistake when they put should not, so we'll change it to shall not perish. That's the plan of salvation. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. So I'm good to go. I'm good to go, you may think, because that says it right there. Or you can look in the New Testament. When you really want to get right with God and you want to get this thing all worked out, some people don't bother to look at all. They just try to tune up with what somebody else says. If the priest says it, okay, I'll listen to what he says and that's it. But what if the priest is out of tune? And you tune up to that. Or what if somebody in your family knows all the answers? If somebody already mentioned today about talking to somebody that knows everything. So you tune up to that. I had an uncle that would clear his throat and everybody else would get quiet because they wonder what lie he's going to tell now. He would start off a big lie with and it would usually be a good one. Back when I was in the army and I did this and I did that and man, he'd go. But the whole thing was out of tune. You knew he was out of whack. It wasn't right. But you get over to the New Testament and you read these words, which are very much the Word of God. I mean, it's the Word of God. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ came and He lived and He died and He rose from the dead, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's in essence what it says. If you confess this and believe it with your heart, you shall be saved. And then there comes this whole congregation in many churches said, that's all it takes to be saved. Is it? Perhaps you're missing some keys on your instrument. The reason there are so many pages in the Bible and so many scriptures is because they all are inspired of the Word of God and they harmonize and a standard has been set. From the beginning of the book until you get into the New Testament, everything points to something. And then when you get into the New Testament, that something that was pointed to has arrived. And from the New Testament forward, everything leans on and depends on that which has arrived. Everything in the Old Testament, everything under the law was pointing to something better yet to come. A perfecting, if you can receive it, a perfecting of the tune-up of God. All power in heaven and earth, in other words, all that's needed in your life, all that you need for a God is supplied in Jesus Christ. Because Almighty God has brought forth a Savior unto us. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Doesn't that sound beautiful? Wonderful. Just listen to it. Follow me if you can, Mr. Cameraman. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Then somebody will say, I believe in the Trinity. Shut up. Unto us a child is born. I'm talking about harmony in the Word of God. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Who are we talking about here? Who is this child? And when is this conversation taking place? In the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Isaiah, hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ, writes these words, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Who are we talking about here? The government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, who are we talking about? The out-of-tune crowd tries to make that kind of wording to be proof that Jesus, the man, the person, the second person of the three-part committee, existed back when Isaiah spoke these words. But the beautiful harmony of the word, if you can receive it, must take you all the way back to the beginning when God created all things, and then launch yourself forward to the book of John and read the explanation of what happened and who was in the beginning with God and who was God. The word of God explains it very clearly. We don't have to depend on the Nicene Council of 325 A.D. because that was out of tune. It was out of sync. It was out of harmony. It was not according to the Word of God. So we have to go back before the Nicene Council of 325 A.D. and find Jesus Christ teaching his disciples and making them into apostles and then making promises and fulfilling his word, as we read in the book of Acts, the actions of the original church. We read what happened on the day of Pentecost. We get into the book of John. John explains who was in the beginning with God and who was God and how it all took place. In the beginning, John said, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word was in the beginning with God. The Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. If we were talking about a human being, we could just say, in the church at Norwich today is Joe Young. What Joe Young says is with Joe Young. And what Joe Young speaks is Joe Young. But I don't see three persons sitting over there next to Sister Carolyn. And if there were two more, I'm guaranteeing you that she would get rid of two of them. Because she will have no other Joe Young sitting beside her. God is not a three-person God. Jesus became the express image of his person, of his existence, of what he is and who he is. John declared, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's the first verse of John, the first chapter, and you get down to the 14th verse, and he explains, and the Word, what Word? The one he's talking about. The Word that was in the beginning with God, and the Word that was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. The Word that was in the beginning with God and was God was made flesh. So what did that flesh do? It spoke God to the inhabitants of the world. It was God's voice yet speaking. When Jesus did things, it was an expression of God Almighty doing something. Hallelujah. And still today, God is creating through the power of His Word. I'm into the standard of God's great harmony right now. God does things through the power of His Word. That's why it's so important. Whatever you do in word or in deed, you do it in the name of the Word. Because there's no other name other than the one that has been given. That's why the angel said, call His name Jesus. Why? Because He's the Word of God. That's God who is His Word. And you're going to call Him by the salvation name of the one who speaks and causes things to come to pass. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Amen. The harmony of the Scriptures teaches us that nobody can forgive sin other than God only. There's a name that's above all names. And at that name, every knee bows, every tongue confesses that that name is the name of the one who is Lord over all. Hallelujah. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of who? God the Father. The same one that was in the beginning with His Word, and the Word was with the Father, and the Word was the Father. That's why Jesus was able to say, I and my Father are one. I am in the Father, and the Father's in me. In other words, the Word is in God, and God is in His Word. Praise God. In other words, I'm in the Spirit, and the Spirit's in me. There's no disharmony. Christ cannot be divided. The Spirit of God cannot be divided. But in every illustration of what God is and how God performs, there is perfect harmony, perfect unity. There is a standard, and God raises this standard up against your enemy, and so you don't have to go around saying, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Oh, yes, you do. Call on the name of Jesus, and you shall be saved. Call on the name of Jesus, and you shall be saved. Why? It's a salvation name of the mighty Word of God that would be called Counselor, that would be called the Mighty God. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. Whose name shall be called the Everlasting Father? The name of the child that was born to be born, and the son that was to be given on a cross. That's the one whose name would be called Everlasting Father. And that's why Jesus was recorded by Matthew to have said to go into all the world, teaching everybody and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And when you learn what that name is, you can find harmony and you can find a standard that will defeat every religious devil in your life. Thank you, Jesus. And we're not here to fight anybody. We're here to enlighten our friends. I've been on a quest for several years to try to look at the mission field rather than to go off to some foreign country, but just the field which God spoke in the Word. He said, the field is the world. The field is the world. I had a vision years ago of the entire world, and I even named the ministry. And I got laughed at, and I took my signs down. But I had a big sign on the side of the road, Wren Rutledge World Ministries. And I was in a little small building on the side of the road, you know, with this great big sign up there. But I was young, and it did look kind of silly. Nice sign. Sign was nicer than my building. Not like an Amway distributor with holes in his shoes telling you how to get rich. World ministries. World outreach harvest. You know, big sign, little cheap building that I couldn't afford. Somebody came to me and said, "You know what? That's a big joke. People are going to laugh at you." So I took the sign down. Then I put it on my business card because it's not on the side of the road where everybody sees it. And then I didn't like the way it had my name attached to it, so I just wrote World Harvest Ministries. Put my phone number there and my address. And then again, when I passed the card out, people would say, "World? And you expect to evangelize the world?" "Yeah.
You know?"
"Yeah."
"Well, you think you can do that?"
"If I can figure out how to get in tune, I think it can be done. I don't think it's me that'll do it." Who did that scripture say would lift up the standard? The Spirit of the Lord will lift up the standard. So what we've got to do is adjust ourselves, tune ourselves up, yield to the Spirit of God. That's what I'm talking about today. Let God play His song. It's all through the Word of God. They shall sing a new song. The Psalms are so beautiful in the Word of God because they are singing unto the Lord. Songs of deliverance. Songs of victory. Songs of being able to defeat the enemy. But you look at all those battles they went through. The battle was the Lord's, wasn't it? It wasn't their own battle. If you'd have heard them trying to straighten out their own problems, they would have all been out of tune. But when the battle was in array, oftentimes they just had to stand still and see God do His work. God is the mighty warrior. God is the one who's able to defeat the enemy. It seems weird sometimes because the instructions sometimes were things like, when you see the enemy approaching and you see all the numbers and the multitudes of the people who are your enemies, just sing a song. We're all outnumbered, 10 to 1 or more. There are thousands of them out there. Sing. You know what? It still works today. Have you noticed how you can defeat enemies just by singing your song? Have you ever noticed how you can feel so bad when you come to church and you start singing and clapping your hands and the enemy just has to flee away? What's happening? God Almighty is lifting up a standard. The Spirit of God is lifting up a standard against your enemy. You don't have to work it out yourself and get this. Let God give you the perfect harmony that's in His Word. Oh, look. "I will sing unto the Lord." Doesn't that feel good? Everybody say, "I will sing unto the Lord." Some of you need a tune-up. Or, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Sing that. We're getting there. But see, God doesn't depend upon your vocal ability. God doesn't depend on my ability to learn to play these instruments. I studied hard to learn to play what I play, and it took me years to be able to do a lot of things that I used to do better than I do now, because now through the years I find that if I don't keep doing all these things over and over that I did when I was young, they start getting away. And the ability to play that slide trombone, I'm rusty now, and that was my major instrument in college. And the ability to play the trumpet, as I once did on a lot of record albums. Now I try it and I just sound like I've been eating too many beans. And so anyway, you know, but in life, no matter how old you are, how young you are, if Jesus is in your life in the proper way and not just as part of a fictitious idol that somebody has suggested through the years that all people are supposed to believe in this way. If you get Jesus in your life in the proper way, all things will come into perfect harmony and a balance. And then the enemy can come in like a flood, and a standard will be lifted up against your enemy. And you don't have to do your own standards. You don't have to make Satan bow down by the way you dress, by the way you wear things, put on, cut or don't cut. You just let God lift up His Spirit as a standard against your enemy. And all these things that you wear and places where you go, they take care of themselves, because the Spirit that's in harmony knows when you're about to do something that's out of harmony. And you yield to that Spirit and you do the things that you're supposed to do. And then visitors come and say, "My, you folks do have a standard of holiness," when they look at you. Like one man came and he said, "So when do you teach on these standards? I notice you've got the typical UPC standards here." "So what are you talking about?" He said, "I used to be stuck," and he said, I used to be a UPC nerd." Those are the words he used. I'm not fighting UPC. I'm just telling you what this man's saying. You know, he needed to get off the bus attitude. He said, "Surely you must have a night when you teach standards and you teach the ladies how to dress and you teach people what to do." He said, "I noticed this about the men. I noticed this about the ladies. I used to live like that," he said, "when I was in UPC bondage." I said, "You did? So when do you have the night when you teach that at your church?" And I was so glad to say, I never have said a word about it to the church. Then he accused me of lying. He said, "Those people would not be dressing like they dress." Now, we don't all have a certain way to dress. I'm just saying, you can see it's noticeable when people have been going to church for a while, living for God a while, things start changing. Even visitors, when they come two or three times, they start trying to fit in with everybody else because they think that's what you're supposed to do. Nobody's making anybody do things. It's mentioned once in a while because questions are asked and we answer the questions. But it's not something that we're enforcing. You can't enforce what they call a standard of holiness if they're talking about clothes or movie picture shows or television or whatever. You could write a list of that would be bigger than the Bible of standards that people want you to keep. In fact, I think they got one about that big now called a manual. But if you let God lift up the Spirit as the standard, then people will notice there's something different about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to have a peeping Tom looking through your window to see if you're watching the blue tube. And if you watch it, you will not have to have anybody tell you when to change channels. Hallelujah. Because He's God in the public and He's God in the private. He's God when everybody knows you and knows who you are and they're watching you. And He's God when you're somewhere way off and nobody knows you. And whatever standards you have in the Spirit of God when you're in church is the same standard you have in Hollywood, California. Praise God. Or New York City. Isn't God good? 4 more minutes. I'm watching a clock. I got a clock down here, and I put myself on a time limit. And if God permits, I'm going to end at 5 o'clock and give you a chance to let God lift up a standard in your life. And I'm going to tell you, this is being a beginning of a new year. If you will allow God to do this, let the Spirit of God be that which is lifted up in your life. Yield to this. And don't stop yielding to it throughout this year. Everything that you have committed to God in this beginning, you will be able to keep until 2012. Because when God lifts up a standard, no man can take it down. No devil can take it down. Thank you, Lord. So this is more than about who is Jesus. And what was Jesus in the beginning with the Father? This is more about saying that everybody else is wrong and we're right. We're not saying that at all. But the field is the world, and the world has gotten out of tune. The field is all the different churches, the Protestants and the Catholics and the Jews and their synagogues and their some of them are refusing, most of them are refusing to accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They do need to make an adjustment there because it's getting a bad sound. It's out of tune because Jesus was and is the Messiah. But then there are some who are called Messianic Jews. Jerusalem is filled with Jesus' name baptized Jewish rabbis, filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the truth. A friend was spent years in Jerusalem baptizing entire Jewish synagogue congregations in Jesus' name. And they kind of kept it quiet because there's a lot of problems over there when you start expressing the power of Jesus in your life. But they're there. He recently died. But he had this testimony. Every time he would come home from the mission field, Jews are getting the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name. Because for them, when they finally accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then they obey Him. When they finally see that we're talking about the same God they always believed in the Old Testament, Jehovah God has become my salvation. When a Jew sees this, they immediately become one God, Jesus' name people. They bypass the whole Nicene Council 325. And if you can get a Jew to explain God to you and put Jesus in as Messiah, he will explain God the same way we've been trying to explain Him all these years. There's one God, and He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is a child that was born and placed in a manger. He is the one whose name would be called Jesus, for He would save His people from sin. He is the Word that was in the beginning with God and was God and always will be God. And if you need a standard of holiness, get the Holy Ghost, and that Spirit will lift up the standard in your life. Happy New Year, everybody. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand and praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's worthy. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Let Him bless you right now. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let Him put that solid truth and strength inside your spirit.
Hallelujah,
oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus. Come to Him. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. As the song says, let's come and worship and bow down. Kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker.
Hallelujah.
All of us, again, even us who know,
hallelujah,
yield. Let's yield ourselves to God. Make sure we're in tune. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Oh, to God's unchanging
Jesus, hallelujah.
Well, let us hold.
Plenty of room up here tonight. Once you come and just take some time to pray. Maybe get out of your chair a little and just worship God. Let Him bless you.
Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let us hold to God's unchanging hand.
Hold to His hand.
God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Hold to His hand.
Oh, hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Let's just get a hold of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Make a spirit resolution in this new year. A standard resolution in this new year. Yield yourself to God. Yield all your members to God. Harmonize with God. Let God tune you up. Praise God. And let us hold to God's unchanging hand.
Hallelujah.
Well, let us hold to God's unchanging hand. And build your hopes on things eternal. Hold John 3:16 is the plan of salvation. As long as it's in harmony with Acts 2:38 and Matthew 28:19. Amen. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and thou shalt be saved. Is the plan of salvation. As long as it harmonizes with John 3:16. Acts 2:38. Amen. Matthew 28:19. Amen. Believe in your heart and you shall be saved. That's true. That's the plan of salvation. If believing in your heart means that you obey the instruction to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you accept the gift of the Holy Ghost that follows repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus. If you believe and confess and you do all of that, you get perfect harmony and there will be a standard lifted up against all false religions. Amen. All false ways. God Himself will lift up the standard. That's why you need the gift of the Holy Ghost, because that is a standard lifter-upper. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.